favorite psalms or classic psalms, me and Tyler, in the Book of Psalms, you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening online right now. Well, this morning we're going to look at Psalm 90. It's a psalm that Moses wrote, and it is one of my favorite psalms because it reminds me that life is short. And that's the title of this morning's message. Life is short. Life is short. What is Nordic Fest, festivities or weekend, however you want to say it, involve? As I thought about it, it involves a whole lot of planning and preparation for a short period of time. A whole lot of planning and preparation for really a short period of time. Opening ceremonies, so to speak. A kickoff on Thursday evening with the Nordic dancers and the Lorn singers. And then on Friday, typically you have the arts and crafts at Decorah Middle School. That's one of the highlights. I guess they didn't have that this year. And then on Saturday, the grand parade, which we took Eden, our three-year-old, to, and she just loved the candy. And I'm not sure she liked all the noise because she kept doing this with her ears because the fire trucks and everything kept blowing their horns. But the candy she liked, her favorite thing was a rock. Someone gave her a rock, a painted rock, and she's held on to that thing all yesterday and this morning. Even woke me up saying, look at my rock. And then Saturday night, it's what? The fireworks. The fireworks, and then it's over. It's over. All that planning, all that preparation, and we're on to the next thing. And for those of you who are involved in it or are part of this area, are part of this community, you may ask yourself, well, why do we do all this? Why do we do all this? Well, we love our community. Decorah is our home, and we take pride in our community. However, it's not the end-all, be-all. Why? Because this isn't our permanent home. Our home is in heaven. That's where our home is, in heaven. What is it that we should be working on? We should be working on telling other people about our home in heaven. That's really what we should be telling people about our home in heaven. Why? Because life is short. It's over before we know it. Maybe you're here this morning and you've begun to realize this. Perhaps your loved ones are getting older. I notice this every time I go home to visit my family, my parents in Tennessee. They're in Knoxville by the Smokies. Since I only go to visit them twice a year, usually once in the summer and once at Christmas, I can really see the changes in my parents. I mean, I just notice that since you see them every 6 months, you kind of say, oh my, they're getting older. When I was young, I remember my dad saying, son, you got your whole life ahead of you. You got your whole life ahead of you, son. And when you're young, you're not really sure what those words even mean, right? They don't even register. Now that I'm getting older, I understand what he was trying to tell me. Now that I'm approaching 50, I think my dad was trying to say, son, live your life to the fullest. Live your life to the fullest. Enjoy your life. Live it. Live it to the fullest. This is very similar to what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes. By the way, that's my favorite book in the Bible. If you've never heard me say that before, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Why? Because it reminds me that in the end, everything is utterly meaningless. It really doesn't matter. These things that we get so obsessed with, so consumed with, that are heavy on our hearts and our minds, Solomon says, in the end, the only thing that matters is fearing God and keeping his commandments, living for him, putting him first. Solomon says this here in Ecclesiastes 11, 9, and 10. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember, you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry. Don't worry about things. I don't know about you, but I worry about everything. And keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is just meaningless. I certainly have tried to keep my body healthy. I like to exercise. I love fitness. However, the worrying part, oh man, I worry all the time. I'm always worrying about something. Why? Because I thought about this. I thought it's because I'm not trusting God with my life. That's why I worry all the time. I'm not trusting God that He's going to take care of me. If I trusted Him, I would let go of those things that I'm holding on to. I'd open my hands and just let go of them and start to focus on heavenly things, things that really matter. This is what Paul urged those in Colossae to do. He says this here, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Paul says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on what? The realities of heaven. Think about that. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is He your life? And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Here's a question for you. Is Christ your life? Do you think about Him all the time? I must confess that I don't. What do I think about? I think about my wife and my daughter. I think about Monica and Eden and the things I want to do with them. I think about my future and wonder if I'll ever get to retire. Monica wonders if we'll ever get to have a home of our own. However, the truth is, the Lord is our home. He has always been our home. Why? Because He has always been our God. What is true for us was also true for Moses and the people of Israel. What did Moses have to say about home and the Lord? Let's jump right in here to Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. He says this, Lord, through all the generations, You have been our home, Your home. Before the mountains were born, before You gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, You are God. Is the Lord your God? Moses here says, You're God. The question is He your God? Does your life revolve around Him? Because if He's not your God, if something else is your God that you worship, you eat, breathe, think, and sleep about, then odds are you don't have a permanent home. You know, it's sad to say most people don't realize they don't have a permanent home. Sad to say most people don't realize that they don't have a permanent home. That's why they're so wrapped up in the things of this world. They believe this world is their permanent home. What evidence is there of this? Well, they're living for the here and the now. Much like Francis Chan said here in this opening video. Right? They're focused on that little red part in the rope. The here and the now. What happens to those who live for the here and now as if this is all there is to live for? They'll soon be turned back to dust. Verse 3. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. We like to think we have our whole life ahead of us. Right? We like to think that. We got our whole life ahead of us. However, verses 4 through 6. For you, God, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that poof, disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. Well, how do I know all this is true by reading this? Well, God's word is always true. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. How do I know it's true? Because I remember my days on the basketball court when I was young. When I was young, I could run and jump and cut. Now I'm afraid to do any of those things. Why? Because my Achilles tendon has withered. The tendons in my foot have come apart. Oh, they've been repaired, and I can walk. Okay? But I can't do things like I used to be able to do things. Perhaps today, you're starting to dry up and wither. Maybe internally, you're here this morning, and you're like, yeah, I'm starting to dry up and wither. Well, why is that? It's not because you're getting old. It's because of your sins. You see, our sins have separated us from our God. So Moses says here, our sins have separated us from our God. What is the result of this? We wither beneath his anger. We're overwhelmed by his fury. We think he's not aware of what we're doing and how we're living. Because he's way up there and we're down here. However, the truth is he knows about our secret sins. What will happen if we continue down this road that we're going on? Moses says, if we continue down this path, our years will end with a groan. Continuing on verses 7 through 9. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. How do we make sure our years don't end with a groan? I don't want my years to end with a groan. How do we make sure our years don't end with a groan? By confessing our sins to the Lord. That's where it starts. By getting real and honest about who we are and what we've done. We go to our mediator. For there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. He's our high priest, and so we go to him. John says it like this in 1 John 1, 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Oh yes, Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Because I need to be clean and purified. Just how many years do we have to live? Well, none of us knows. But Moses says this in verse 10. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly. Perhaps today you're filled with pain. Maybe you have some pain right now in your life, some heartache. Or maybe you're in trouble yourself. Right? What is it I want you to know? It won't last forever. You may have trouble today. You may be filled with pain, but it won't last forever. God has something better in store for you. What does God have in store for you? A priceless inheritance that is beyond the reach of change and decay. And that may be hard for you to comprehend right now because of all the things you're dealing with and going through. it's true. What else is hard for us to comprehend or understand? The power of his anger. Continuing on, verse 11 and 12. Who can comprehend, who can understand the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life, just how short life is, so that we may grow in wisdom. Most people don't believe in the power of his anger. Most people don't believe it. How do I know this? Because they say things like, a loving God would never send anyone to hell. You know what the truth is? The majority of people will go to hell. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide. Why is it broad and wide? For the many who choose that way. But the gateway of life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. If only a few ever find it, what should we be doing? Praying. Praying that the Lord would come back to us. Why? Because we're the ones who have gone down the wrong road. Moses says this in Psalm 90, 13. Oh Lord, come back to us. Oh Lord, we need you. I need you. I can't live without you. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. As servants of the Lord, what is it we need? What is it we need as servants of the Lord? His pity, his grace, his mercy, his compassion. All we need it. When do we receive it? When we ask for it. What's our problem? Often we're trying to ask for it. Oh, I don't need any help. I'm all right. I'll be okay. However, what will happen if we ask for his pity? Three things happen. Hear that? He's going to unpack here in this psalm. First, he'll satisfy us each morning with his unfailing love. When we say, God, I need your grace, I need your mercy, I need your compassion because it sustains me. He'll satisfy us each morning with his unfailing love. Second, he'll give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. I don't know what things that you've experienced or gone through, but God can replace those terrible things and those bad experiences with gladness. And third, he'll replace the evil years with good. Give us gladness in proportion to our former ministry and misery and replace the evil years with good. Those bad years that we don't want to think about because we all have them in our lives. Those times that we went through and we wish we didn't have to experience those, he's going to replace those with good. Well, how do we know he'll do this? Because this was Moses' prayer. And God always answers the prayers of his loved ones. Continuing on, verses 14 through 17. Satisfies, Moses says, satisfies. Only Jesus satisfies. Satisfies each morning with your unfailing love. Pour out your love upon us, God, so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former ministry, the misery, that junk that we experienced. Replace those bad years, those evil years with good. Let us, your servants, see you work again. Yes, God, I want to see you work at work in my life. Let our children, yes, I want to see Eden. I want Eden, my daughter, to see your glory. And may the Lord, our God, show us his approval. Yes, I want you to know that you approve, Lord Jesus. And make our efforts successful. As individuals and as a family, as a church, yes, make our efforts, what we do, successful for you, Lord Jesus. Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to sing for joy to the end of my life. I believe He is the only one who can satisfy me each morning with His unfailing love. And when I wake up out of bed Monday morning, that only Jesus can satisfy me today and this week. Nothing else in this world can. I believe He can give me gladness in proportion to my former misery. I believe He can replace those bad things that have happened to me with good. The question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? I want to see God work in my life. I want Eden, our daughter, to see God's glory. I want God to show His approval. I want Him to make our efforts as a family successful. But in order for this to happen, we have to get serious about living for Jesus. We do. Me and my family, and this church family, and this body of Christ, we have to get serious about it. We must remember that this here, down here, this isn't our home. Because we have a home in heaven. We must remember where God has always been. We must confess our secret sins to Him. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Lord, You know what's going on in my mind and in my heart. And here it is. I confess it to You. We must get back to doing what He's told us to do. Maybe right now in your life and in your job and in the things, you've lost track of what's important and what really matters. You're going in the opposite direction of where you need to go. We need to get back to what He's called us to do. What has He called us to do? Tell people that this isn't their home. This isn't all there is to live for, but that life is short. What is your life, James? Says you are a mist that appears for a little while and then poof, vanishes. You're gone. It's over. Could be over today. Last night I was practicing my sermon. I'm kind of a night owl. We live right behind Westside Dentist, and I'm usually out there 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and it's when Monica and Ian's gone to bed, and like, why are you out there in the parking lot? Because I'm loud. If I'm in the garage or in the house, Monica's like, I can still hear you. So I go outside, and I'm walking in the parking lot, and I had to make a change or two to my message. I thought, well, I'm going to run to church and just retype something here that I don't like the way it sounds. And then pulpit rocks there, and there's all kind of people milling around, you know, buzzing and drinking. And I'm like, man, I could die tonight just driving 5 minutes to church. There's all kinds of crazy people out there. So that'll be my story. He went to church that night to change something out of his sermon and got hit by a drunk driver. It's over before we know it. So I didn't go. I did it this morning. But we won't know how long we have. 12 years ago, we came here in August, August 1st. This August will be the start of our 13th year. I still remember people saying, just give it 2 years. Just stay with us for 2 years. Like, I want to go back where it's warm. I want to go back to Tennessee. It's cold here. I know it's cold because I grew up in Michigan. Right? Now I can't imagine leaving. I think about Eden growing up here, going to school here. I think of this place as our home. But it's not our permanent home. Why? Because God has prepared something better for us. Our 60. All these people, the great saints of the past, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. That's what we are. We're just passing through. Obviously, people who say such things are looking for a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place. There's got to be something more. A heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. We don't have something that's going to last. But God has prepared something for us that will last. A new heaven and a new earth. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, yeah, I've gotten too wrapped up in this earth and the things going on down here. And I'm just not able to let go of some things right now, and I need to let go of them because they're consuming my mind and my heart. And I've forgotten what really matters and what's really important. Would you pray for me? Well, we're going to pray here in a moment. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm not a Christian. And just like Francis Chan in that video, I've lived my whole life for that little red part. And I realized I need to give my life to Jesus. Because if I were to die today, I don't know where I would spend my eternity. And I want to know for certain. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think, hopefully, probably, the scales will tip in my favor. No, so that you may know. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to confess my sins to him. I want to come clean. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you can say, Ed, I've kind of lived my life for myself. Kind of lost focus of what really matters and what's important. I've gotten so wrapped up in the things down here that I've forgotten about heavenly things and what reality is. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and I want to do that. If that's you, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer. If you softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I'm a Christian, but I've forgotten that life is short. I worry all the time about so many things. I've forgotten that this isn't my home. Would you pray for me that God would change my heart, my mind, so that I would let go of some of these things that are just weighing me down? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that you would help them and help me to let go of these things that we think are so important and to trust you with our life, because this is not our home. You have a permanent home for us in heaven, and we look forward to being with you. Oh, Lord Jesus, come back for us even today, that you may take us to be with you, for we long